May it please the Court, Your Honors. Jeremiah Morgan, the Deputy Solicitor General of the State of Missouri, on behalf of the defendant in this case. The issue in this appeal is whether the trial court erred by ignoring Missouri and federal law requiring that the plaintiffs register as sex offenders. On July 27, 2006, Congress enacted the Sex Offender Registration Notification Act. This came 30 days after this court's decision in Doe versus Phillips and had two significant impacts that I want to identify for the court. First, it triggered.
Does Doe versus Phillips control this case, absent the federal legislation?
No, because the Missouri statute controls this case, and that, which is what I want to identify for the court here, and that is Doe versus Phillips considered the first provision, the first provision of Section 589.400, which dealt with registration requirements for those who have been convicted or pled guilty.
So but there are additional. Doe versus Phillips has nothing to do with this case.
It certainly does have things to do with this case, but it doesn't control whether or not the plaintiffs in this case are required to register under Missouri law and federal law, because there are several possibilities under which a sex offender should be required to register under Missouri law, in addition to federal law, and those requirements are in 589.400, the first of which this court considered in Doe versus Phillips. And so we're not here talking about that provision. However, under subsection 7, an individual or sex offender is required to register if they have been or are required to register under another state's law or under federal law.
Why isn't that itself a retrospective law? That provision, why doesn't it violate the retrospective law rule?
It doesn't, because it looks at a present and existing duty, not solely at prior conduct, which this court has indicated. You look at, for purposes of retrospective application, you look at whether or not it solely looks at prior conduct. And this is a present duty to register under another state's laws or under federal law. So in that respect, it's not a retrospective application of law.
So you're saying the trigger date is the date they were required to register somewhere else.
Right. The trigger date is the dates, or the dates, it may continue, upon which they're required to register. So, for example, if they're currently required to register in California, that trigger date, for purposes of our retrospective analysis, is today, or present, right now. Now, and in that respect, I think the court's recent decision in State versus Holden is applicable, and that is the court indicated that you look, for purposes of the trigger date for retrospective analysis, you look at the statutory language. And the statutory language in that case, this court looked at, you look at not the underlying offense, but the conviction or the plea of guilty. It doesn't matter when the offense occurred for purposes of retrospective analysis. The same analysis should apply here, and that is you don't look at the first provision as to when they were convicted or pled guilty, but you look at the registration as the triggering event.
Well, under your argument, if it's just looking at the present requirement, then I know at least one of them no longer has to require in their state of conviction. Would that not apply?
Right now, yes. Okay. But they had been required to register up until 2005.
Yes.
And so that requirement.
So isn't that retrospective?
No, that wouldn't be retrospective with respect to them.
Is that looking back at things that happened previously?
Well, as of 2005, under Missouri law, and I think you're, I believe you're talking about Doe.
There's two of them, like four and.
Doe 3, which is okay. The one that under Minnesota law okay. Is no longer required to register. That, as of 2005, when they were no longer required to register in Minnesota, they still had a requirement to register in Missouri. So that triggering event had already occurred under Missouri law. So they were required to register at that point. And whether or not they are taken out of that registration requirement, it really isn't in front of this court. But certainly as of the time that they were here in Missouri and had a registration requirement in Minnesota, that triggered the requirement under Missouri law that they're required to register.
So if we couldn't apply Missouri law retroactively to Missouri offenses, we could apply it to the registration requirement to other states' offenses, to other states' registration requirements.
And it's not, I don't believe so. It's not requiring a retrospective look at when they were convicted or when they pled guilty in another state. That's not what it's looking at. It's looking at an existing or present duty to register in another state or under federal law.
Well, our Constitution bars our enactment of laws that are retrospective in their operation. Are you relying in part on the use of the word enactment as opposed to operation or application?
Right. And in that respect, Doe versus Phillips is still good law in the sense that Missouri cannot pass a law that is retrospective in its operation. But here, the law that it passed merely incorporates a registration requirement from some other state, like any other licensing requirement that may be imported into requirement that may be imported into federal law or from federal law or another state into the state of Missouri. It's not looking at the underlying conduct, but it is instead looking at the registration requirement that would be present and existing in at this time in the state of Missouri.
The has been required to register, is that retrospective? And you're saying it's only because you interpret it as they are now required?
I think under certain circumstances, the has been terminology could be retrospective in this operation. Here's where I think that could be. And that is, if an individual had been required to register and that registration requirement expired in another state before Missouri passes law, that would be looking at prior conduct. That would be looking at a prior registration requirement. But once Missouri law has been passed and they're required to register in Missouri, even that has been, so it would be, for example, the best example would be the Minnesota Doe plan. And that is, they have, as of today, they were required to register in another state. But that's not a retrospective application of law unless that registration requirement expired in another state before Missouri passed
the
law.
And clarify for me,
yes.
The Does who committed crimes in California, since they no longer live in California, are they currently required to register in California?
Yes, they do have a requirement to register in California.
Even though they're not a resident of California.
Yes, they would be required to register in California. But in addition to Missouri law and this provision, incorporating other states' laws requirements to register, it also incorporates the federal law requirement to register, which is an independent obligation upon all the sex offenders.
Do you have to go through that two-step analysis if you're dealing with federal law and federal law requires it? Does it matter what 7 says?
Seven incorporates both of them, state law and federal. You don't necessarily, in a way, it could be a fallback provision in the sense that whether they're required under state law or under federal law or under both, they could be. In fact, I think most of them in this case, except for the 3 that were Missouri convictions, would be required under both.
I misunderstood. I thought you had a separate argument that regardless of 7 and how we interpret it, federal law requires registration.
Right, and that's true. I think that, I apologize.
Well,
I was trying to
let me ask you this.
Yes.
If you've got a person who is convicted in, say, Minnesota or California in 1985, and that state subsequently imposed a registration requirement, which under the Constitution of many states you could do.
Under a few states.
Some states you could do that.
Yes.
So then they impose the registration requirement, and then the person thereafter moves to Missouri. They're required to register, even if the time for having been required to register in the previous state has expired.
In that instance, I don't believe the court should look back to the underlying requirement of how that registration came about. This statutory provision is merely looking at whether or not they're required to register in that state. Once they're required to register,
currently
they should be...
Currently or at some point in the past?
I'm sorry? I'm
currently required to register in that state or at some point in the past?
At least since Missouri's passage of the law that required them to register in Missouri.
But my point is, if you are required to register in another state, that's what you're saying is the trigger?
That's part of it, yes, or under federal law. Under the requirements of another state or under federal law, if you're required to register?
Well, the question about federal law is one that is a kind of an overarching thing, isn't it? It makes reference to state law.
Yeah, and actually I wanted to respond. That was the question that Justice Smith was getting to, and that is, this provision is one avenue under which they're required, the plaintiffs in this case are required to register, whether their requirement arises under registration requirement in federal court or under state law or under federal law. But in addition, there is also an independent obligation on sex offenders to register in the state in which they reside.
Is the failure to register under federal law a federal offense?
Yes, it is.
And under what constitutional provision of the federal constitution was that enacted? Commerce?
Yes, several courts have considered under the Commerce Clause and have upheld it as a valid exercise of the Commerce Clause. Now, I would note that there have been no federal claims that have been raised in this case. So really, the issue of whether or not this is constitutional under Commerce Clause or any of those are not at issue in this case. But I will note that not only, one, it hasn't been raised, but even so, the federal requirement imposes upon sex offenders to register in the state of Missouri. And thus, it would be ineffectual for a court to say or to enjoin individuals from registering in the state of Missouri.
And so you're telling us that the Supremacy Clause overrides whatever we may say about state law?
No, not necessarily. I think in that specific instance, not with respect to Subdivision 7, because that's a requirement under Missouri law that incorporates federal law. But if you go to the second step, and that is this doesn't require them to register, they also have a requirement under federal law.
Well, there's two ways of reading that. One way is to read it as somebody who is convicted under federal law of a sex offense and is required to register. Or it could be, and that could be one way that it is confined, or it applies to that act that you're referring to now, which has to do with state requirements and registration.
Right. It could be either one. They could be required to register under Missouri law, under subsection 7, which is at issue in this case, or independently under federal law, which is not at issue in this case.
But you're saying they can be required to register under federal law even if it's if they're alleged to have violated a state law and do not have a federal conviction.
That's correct.
What language are you relying on for that?
That's in the... Congress defined a sex offense for purposes of federal regulation as a criminal... Let me get the citation for you. The offense of sex offense is defined in subsections 16911 of 42 U.S.C., in which it defines a sexual offense as a criminal offense that has an element involving a sexual act or sexual contact with another, as well as other definitions. But that's under 42 U.S.C. section 16911. So to the extent that a sex offender it falls within those categories, they would be required under federal law to register. And so...
Is a Missouri sex offender required to register under federal law?
They may be,
today.
Yes. Yes,
so
they may be, yes.
Somebody who is convicted today is required to register with the state and with the federal government, or does the state registration include?
The federal law contemplates that they register in the state in which they reside. So they would be required to register here. In addition, they maintain a federal registry as well, but it's on a limited basis.
Under the federal statute,
I see that my time is
expired.
Yes,
go ahead. Under
the federal statute, aren't they also required to immediately register whenever they move?
Yes, they are, and there are criminal penalties associated with that under federal law. So. My time is concluded, so I'll save some time for a reply. But
that'd be great.
Thank you.
Mr. Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. These provisions are interlocking, the federal and the state. We could begin at either end, but certainly subsection 7 is parallel to subsection 1, and the Phillips case applies. What triggers is conduct prior to 1995 and the requirement of registration. There is no requirement of registration without that prior conduct. Our next door neighbors moved from Kansas to Missouri after 1995. They don't have to register. It's the conduct of the Does in this case before 1995 that triggers the requirement to register in those other states. Missouri, the federal act requires those persons who have moved to Missouri to register with a Missouri state official, the Missouri Highway Patrol and the sheriff. And to that extent, SORNA, the federal act, is not able to override the Missouri Constitution without a manifest declaration on the part of Congress of its intent to override, under the Supremacy Clause, the provisions of state law.
The state says that you haven't argued that the provisions of the SORNA Act violate the state constitution. Can you address that?
The federal constitution
or the state constitution?
Well, the federal act cannot violate the state constitution.
But he said you haven't argued that.
We argued, of course we argued it below. We brought this case as plaintiffs, saying that this was in violation of Missouri's ban on retrospective application of the law. The defendants, the state defendants, defended our case by saying no, SORNA applies. So we replied to that and said that SORNA cannot, that the Supremacy Clause does not allow SORNA to trump the Missouri State Constitution without a manifest declaration by Congress of its intent to do so. We raised that below in the trial court, and we raise it here as respondents in our reply to their defense of the act. So yes, it's been fully raised from the beginning. What was not raised in the trial court was a claim that SORNA itself violated the United States Constitution. That was not raised below.
Can you address the language of Missouri's Constitution says that Missouri shall enact no law that is retrospective in its operation. And I know Doe doesn't focus on the word enact because that wasn't an issue there, but as I understand, why is it necessarily a violation of Missouri's Constitution? Why does it raise that conflict and Supremacy Clause issue if the federal law, Missouri obviously did not enact the federal law, so couldn't Missouri apply the federal law without violating its constitutional requirement that it not enact a law retrospective in operation?
No, because SORNA requires registration under Missouri law. Missouri is required to set up a registration system, which it has done, and requires offenders obligated to register under that system, which is controlled by Missouri law. And it specifically makes provision in section 16925 for acquiescence to state constitutional provisions. As Senator Kennedy pointed out, Massachusetts has a due process clause that prohibits first-tier offenders from having to register. So they don't have to register at all in Massachusetts in spite of SORNA because the Supremacy Clause does not apply. Similarly here, Missouri complies with SORNA by requiring its registrants to register under Missouri's SORA. And it's that SORA which requires registration across the board except for those to which the retrospective prohibition applies.
And now, opposing counsel says that exception is not intended to apply to this state law.
It applies which exception?
The one you just said that they don't. If state law precludes them from complying, or an offender from complying with the federal law, then they're not considered in violation. The one you were just talking about.
Section 16925.
I don't have the number. The one were discussing.
That is the provision in which it allows the Attorney General to determine, for purposes of compliance with the federal SORNA, that there has been a reasonable effort to comply. And the statutory history of federal SORNA establishes that the purpose of that exception was to accommodate state constitutional provisions that did not require the registration of all offenders, as in Massachusetts.
So how do we have to not give effect to the Attorney General's the regulation that's been adopted that says that applies, the federal law applies retrospectively? How do we?
Well, an opinion by the Attorney General wouldn't trump the Missouri State Constitution.
Well, no, I mean, the statute says the Attorney General shall determine whether or not the new federal statute applies to offenses committed and offenders convicted prior to its effective date, and the Attorney General has said it does. How do we?
Right. Absent an exception under the controlling state constitutional law. And so to the extent that General Mukasey had a view different than this court as to whether or not Missouri's own state constitution provided an exception is a decision for this court to make. And in fact, the act, I don't recall the exact language, but specifically requires the Attorney General to confer with the highest court of the state jurisdiction to determine whether or not compliance with SORNA by the state has been reasonably
complete. Or the highest legal officer, I think.
Highest legal officer has been reasonably complete. Mm-hmm. So we go back to the Missouri statute, which is retrospective under Phillips, that says if they have been, if there has been an act, if there's been conduct before 1995, then that trigger, that conduct triggers the duty to registrate, to register in Missouri once they move to Missouri. And so for these few, this handful of people going back 14 or 30 years ago who had been convicted before 1995, moved to Missouri either before or after 1995, the application of the state requirement that they register is retrospective under Phillips.
If you ignore the has been for a moment and just say, or is required to register in another state, is that also retrospective?
Well, that would be, because they'd only be required to register in another state as a result of conduct which predated 1995. And so it's the conduct that triggers the requirement to register, not having been registered. Mm-hmm. Or moving to Missouri, it's the conviction or plea in another state. That's the conduct to which the Constitution of Missouri prohibits the retrospective application. And then SORNA requires the recognition of that exception, and so the supremacy clause is not implicated. If there are no further questions, I'll sit down.
May it please the court. May it please the court. I have a few points I want to point out to, or get to. The first one is I wanted to make clear with respect to your question, Judge Russell, what we're arguing is that if their claim is that the SORNA violates some constitutional provision, they never raise that. Only they raise that the Missouri law, the Missouri requirement, violates Missouri's constitution. They never raise, and the way that the federal provision comes in.
Because of that, then SORNA doesn't require registration.
No, SORNA does require registration in the state of Missouri.
Maybe even in violation of the state constitution?
Well, it's not. The federal enactment imposes a duty upon the sex offenders to register in the state of Missouri. No matter what state provision exists, even a constitutional provision, it cannot undermine or be in conflict with that provision, because for purposes of the supremacy clause. Now the whether or not.
Are you really arguing that SORNA overrules Doe versus Phillips?
No, I don't think it overrules it in that sense. Certainly under Doe versus Phillips, an individual who's convicted, or Missouri cannot pass a law that is,
well, let's
retrospective in its operation.
Let's assume you've got a person who does, that was convicted in Missouri.
Yes.
And then subsequently the registration law of Missouri is enacted. Mm-hmm. That's Doe versus Phillips.
Right.
No registration for that person.
Right.
Different person commits an act the same day, but in California.
Correct.
And then subsequently California enacts a registration law requiring that person to register, and there's nothing wrong with that under the California Constitution. So
correct.
When that person comes to Missouri, even if that registration requirement has expired, he has to register in Missouri.
Well, now, if it expired before Missouri passes law, then yes, it would be, under Doe versus Phillips, it would be gone, because they're looking at the conduct of registration as a triggering point. But if it didn't expire by the time that Missouri passes law, it is then an existing duty to register under that state law. And the issue is not do we look at the underlying conduct in California, we look at, under subsection 7, the requirement to register. The point was made, we look at the conduct that requires the registration. Here, the conduct that we're looking at under subsection 7 is not the conviction or the plea of guilty. The conduct that we're looking at is the registration requirement, or their registration in another state or under federal law.
But why, if the federal statute requires registration of anyone who commits a sexual offense, then why doesn't that apply to a Missouri person who otherwise would be covered by Doe v. Phillips?
It does apply to them.
So I thought you said it doesn't overrule Doe v. Or it is contrary to Doe v.
I think there are certainly a large number of people that would be who would have been exempt, if you will, under Doe versus Phillips, that are now required to register.
The point you're saying is that it's not an overruler or not overruling. State law still doesn't require it.
Right.
State law prohibits it. But the question is, does federal law override it? It doesn't change state law. It just says there's a federal requirement you're complying
right.
with,
right.
whether or not there's a state requirement.
That's absolutely true. And it comes in two ways. It comes in two ways, under subsection 7 as well as an independent federal requirement. I'm sorry, just
but,
title.
But no. Your argument, oh, I'm sorry. Judge Tedman, go right ahead.
So how do you deal with Mr. Benson's distinction that in Massachusetts the law anticipates
yeah.
the state law and does not intend to override state law?
I appreciate it. That's one of the points I wanted to get to, and that is what he referred to as an acquiescence is not an acquiescence to subordinate federal law to state law. Instead, the federal law requests or sets up a parameters under which states are intended or are supposed to put together a sex offender registration system. Now, it has to conform to the federal law, but it doesn't have to be exact. And the incentive is, if they do it in substantial compliance, they will get federal funding. But that provision doesn't affect the independent obligation on sex offenders under federal law for them to register in the state of their residence. That is a separate provision that is imposed separately upon the sex offender and not upon the states.
The Doe person in Doe versus Phillips has to register.
And I don't know the details of Doe. There were several Does.
Yeah, I know. The one who was not required to register under Missouri law, does that person have to register with Missouri under a requirement of federal law?
They may have to, yes. If they are required by federal law to register, they would be required to register both under Missouri law, because it's incorporated by this provision, subsection 7, and also as an independent obligation under...
So Doe versus Phillips is meaningless.
No, it's not meaningless. It still has application.
Why would it have application if everyone who commits a sexual offense is required to register under federal law?
Not everyone. There's a difference between the sexual offenses that are covered under federal law as well as Missouri law. So there may be a group of individuals who would be required to register under Missouri law that under federal law would not be covered.
Is there a time limit under federal law? It only goes back 10 years or some period?
There's a time limit under which the registration is, that obligation exists, 10, 25, and then some for lifetime.
What's your response to Mr. Benson's argument in his brief that we can look at the federal act itself and determine whether or not Congress intended to allow states to apply their own constitutional provisions then as it relates to whether or not sex offenders have to register? If I sit down and read the Act, can I find the answer to the Supremacy Clause question from reading the Act itself?
I think you could. There's a little bit of uncertainty about what claims are before this court. Certainly, whether it violates the federal constitution or whether or not the federal constitution or the federal act is unconstitutional in any way is not before this court.
Right, I agree.
But certainly with respect to whether or not this provision, whether or not an individual sex offender is required to register under federal law and therefore create an obstacle, Missouri's law creates an obstacle to the enforcement of federal law, would be something that this court could consider by if you don't mind, this is the issue that the Eastern District sort of wrestled with, if you will, in Doe versus Lee, recognizing that they have a requirement to register under federal law, but the issue is not really in front of them. And so, and I will say that case has now been transferred to this court. And so that's what Judge Baker in that case was trying to wrestle with. And I think the simple answer to that is we don't even have to get there because they're required as a matter of Missouri law to register because it incorporates both federal law and state law. But if we do get there, they are still required to register under state law, and it really puts the plaintiffs in an untenable position. I'm so sorry. I can see that I'm way out of time. If you don't mind if I finish this point. Okay. puts the plaintiffs in an untenable position, because if there's an injunction that they are not required to register in Missouri, yet federal law imposes upon them an obligation to register in the state of their residence, and in fact attaches a penalty to that, it puts them in an incredibly untenable position that they are, one, prohibited from registering in Missouri under Missouri law, and then two, could subject themselves to penalties by federal law.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
And the case is submitted.